year for the last several years to share with you just the latest things that are going on with SoundView. First, I just want to say thank you for hosting me again today. The reason that we're getting started a little early, and I do appreciate that, is that my daughter Gabby's birthday is this week, and so I have my family coming over, so I left the crock pot on there and got to get back home and, you know, greet my family, and so I hope you understand that. But I did not want to miss today. I wanted to come out because I just love being here. I love the pastors of this church and so many of you who support this ministry, and I am just so grateful because without you, we really cannot do what we do. So I wanted to just review, going back to the beginning of this year, I want to talk more about what's going on in the pro-life movement overall and how SoundView is collaborating with other organizations so that we can be more effective. And so I have a couple of videos that I want to show you. I want to talk about the first thing, I think the major ripple, the wave, the rippling effect of what's been going on this year, and that is the reproductive health care bill. So who is familiar with the bill, the reproductive health care bill? Okay, some of you are. So what I want to do is just briefly describe what the passage of this bill means to women and to unborn children. What the bill does is it actually extends the right of a woman to choose to have an abortion up until birth. Before this bill was passed, there was a limit on how far you can be in your pregnancy before you would have an abortion, and that was 24 weeks. And even at that, I mean, many of you maybe have had children, or you know women who are 6 months pregnant, they're pretty pregnant at that point. Not that being 6 weeks or 6 months has anything to do with the value of that life, but I just needed to make that point that now, up until the time of birth, up until 40 weeks, that woman, you know, for whatever reasons that she deems is necessary for her to not have that child, it's legal in the state of New York for her to have an abortion. In addition to that, and I'm just outlining a couple of the highlights of that bill, what really is disturbing to me, if that's not disturbing enough, is I actually read the bill, and you can see where it is crossed out if there is an attack on, let's say, a pregnant woman and the baby dies and she dies. So previous to this bill, that would have been counted as two counts of murder, which gives personhood to the unborn child. They literally lined that out. And so now the child has no rights in the state of New York, no legal rights. It's stricken from the penal code. It is not considered a life. Now, I know, and I hope that you all know who are here, that every life is a life, is a child of God, created by God, and every life has value. And so I think what happened, as horrible as that bill is, and it's very, we were grieving at SoundView. We were just grieving because we see these babies. We see them on the sonogram when these women come in. And they're very much alive, and they're very much a human being, and they very much deserve our protection. So as horrible as that was, we were just grieved over what this means for the state of New York. We are one of the most progressive abortion states in the country. We have twice the national average of abortions here in New York. And there are about 15 abortion clinics between here and up through Long Island, up through Queens, Rochester, Brooklyn, 15 abortion clinics. And there are two of us. There's two SoundViews. There's one in Suffolk County, there's one here in Nassau County, and God willing, we're going to be opening up other centers. That's our vision, because we really believe that if we give women an option, if we really educate them on what their choices are, what their options are, and most importantly, what the support system is that can surround them, they would choose life. And we've heard that over and over again when women come to our center and they say, wow, I had no idea that this existed. Wow, you have so many resources. And we provide coaching and mentoring for them for up to 2 years or more if they need it after their baby is born, because we realize that for some women who are not prepared to have a baby, and really, let's face it, when are we ever really prepared? But some of these women are in a real crisis where they have no support system behind them. And so we want to be that support system for them. And when they see that they have the support that will surround them and they see their babies, many times they will go forward in their pregnancy and they will choose life. And I have to tell you, there is no greater joy, and there is no, you couldn't pay me enough money to, that just compares, it just doesn't compare with what we get to go home knowing that a woman walked in being uncertain about her pregnancy and what she was going to do, and because of the services that we've provided her, because of the love and the compassion and the dignity and the respect, and we back all of that up with resources and with practical help that she really needs, this woman now feels more confident in her decision to go forward in her pregnancy. So I love what we do. My husband, he's a pastor also, and he'll ask me sometimes, so how was work today? And I was, you know, sometimes I get to go home and say, we had a save today, you know, and I was just going about my business, cooking dinner, and he says, well, wait, just stop. Just stop. Do you hear what you just said? Did you, you know, take it in, you know, and I have to do that sometimes. I have to pinch myself that God has allowed us to be in such a critical space in this woman's life. Because if that woman did not find Soundview and instead she found Planned Parenthood, that story would be very different. When a woman walks through our doors, she feels life. We've had this said to us, as a matter of fact, that she feels the life and the love in the center. And we do pray in that center every single day. We pray that God's Spirit would be there, that we're able to meet women at the point of their need, because we're really not capable to do that without Him. And so it's just such a joy. It is such a joy. And, you know, as you participate in this ministry, and you're going to be doing a baby bottle drive, and that may seem like a very small thing, and I know that Sarah's not here to really talk about that and what that looks like, so if you need me to do that, I'll be happy to do that. But even in that way, you're participating in the greater good of what Soundview is doing. So I want to back up a little bit, and I want to talk about, so what's going on around the country? Well, in light of this Reproductive Health Care Act, there seems to be this great awakening among churches in particular. I think we've gotten to a place where we realize enough is enough. And so our phone was ringing off the hook, churches were calling us, ministry teams were coming for tours, pastors, congregants are saying, what are we doing about this? How are we responding to this? Are we doing anything about this? And so we were invited to, actually, God gave us a vision to do what we called a life summit, where we had other organizations come in, and it was really for the purpose of engaging and equipping the local church and the people within the church to know how to respond to this issue of abortion. And it's not only praying in front of, which is very important, or protesting, it's more about how are we, the body of Christ, linking arms together, how are we responding to this in this culture with love? And that is what we're about. We want to engage these young women. We want them to be discipled. We want them to be reached. We want them to know God. We want them to change their lives. We want transformation. This is really more than saving that baby's life, which is so incredibly important, but really it's the woman who needs to know that God loves her and that she's forgiven, she can go on with her life, He's going to be there for her. We want her to know that God is a God of love, and He loves her, and He loves that baby. And once she knows that, and she accepts Christ into her heart, and she believes that God is a loving God, really that's where the pregnancy center's job ends, and that's where the church's job begins. And so you can see how Soundview and the local churches are in partnership with one another, because once we're done with what our services are, we're like the emergency boat, and we want to take her, and we want her to bring her to like the mothership, which is what you, where you have beautiful ministries, women's ministries, children's ministries, and we desire for that young lady to be able to build her faith and to be able to belong to Christian community. And that's where you come in. And so I'm excited about that for you and for all of the churches on Long Island. But I want to talk again about what happened right after that bill was passed and focus on the family. They just had this wild idea that they wanted to do a 4D sonogram in Times Square. Had anybody heard about that? Raise your hand if you had heard about that. Alive from New York. Awesome event. And we were invited to come. And I was actually on the mobile unit with Abby Johnson during that time. And this is the part, Dane, where I'd like to show the video of this. And I want to talk about this event for a few minutes, if you can see the screen.
A beating heart, a live baby. And I said, my God, my uncle is right. Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere.
Don't ever think that you're alone. There are people everywhere who want to uphold and affirm and cherish life. There are people everywhere who want to lead their families well. There are people everywhere who want to enter into this fight humbly with compassion, understanding that it's not about being right. It's about saving lives. May our grieving of today because of these laws, may it soon turn into joy as men and women unite with one voice across culture, class, and creed. And we hold our country to the fire because they said that the unalienable right is the right to life.
I want to tell you something about abortion. Abortion is something that hurts us. Abortion is something that tore my twin's body apart limb by limb, but miraculously left me untouched. Abortion is something that gave me the title abortion survivor and left me walking the earth trying to navigate what that means, just like these other two friends of mine. But here today, we're here because we are going to make that title end with the three of us.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, let's just give God glory for that. That was an amazing feat for Focus on the Family to pull off. And we were just so honored that we were invited
to be.
So
good to be here with all of you.
There she is. She's wonderful. I love Abby Johnson. Does everybody know who Abby Johnson is? Yes. Okay. Abby Johnson was a former Planned Parenthood director who had been, if anybody had seen the movie Unplanned, she was that person. And she was our keynote speaker at our banquet 2 or 3 years ago. She was phenomenal. And when she was there, she was telling me that movie was in production. So it was pretty awesome. But I just wanted to share what that experience was like being in Times Square in that moment. It was surreal. It really was. We were allowed to. We had access to the mobile unit where, you know, all the action was, where Abby Johnson was going to be. And actually, I did not know until days before the sonogram that it was actually Abby Johnson's baby being sonogrammed that day. It was just unbelievable. It's like so poetic that it would be her. And so we're standing in the mobile unit, and all of a sudden, I don't know why I wasn't expecting this, but I started to hear the drums beating and the chanting and the yelling and the screaming. And I'm just like, what is going on? And all of a sudden, here comes this huge angry mob coming down the street, and the mobile unit is maybe 5 feet away from where the barriers are, and they're walking past the mobile unit. My heart was pounding out of my chest. I didn't know what was going to happen. And they're just walking by, and they're banging the drums, and they're screaming at us, and they're saying abortion is health care, and how dare you, and they took Focus on the Family's logo, and they put some nasty slogan underneath it. You're hurting women. You don't care about women. I mean, the things that they were shouting, it was vile. And I just thought, oh my gosh, is this going to turn into, you know, I didn't know if they would just like rush the mobile unit or whatever. So anyway, they wound up walking past us and they started circling the crowd. And they were trying to drown out what was going on, all of the presentations. The noise was just incredible. Was anybody there? Did anybody go? Yeah, right? Did you encounter that?
When they walked through this ultrasound, they came over to where we were a couple of blocks down.
Yeah.
And they were yelling BS, but actually saying the words. All the heartbeat was on the screen.
Oh, yeah. It was just vile. But I have to tell you, I didn't hear that, and I'm glad, because I came out of the mobile unit, and I wanted to stand in the crowd. I wanted to experience it just like everybody else was. And the most amazing thing happened. We're all standing there, and all of a sudden, the crowd just went silent. If you can imagine being in Times Square, and all the noise, the traffic, the drums beating, the yelling and the screaming and everybody just, all the conversations that are going on around us. And all of a sudden, we're all looking up at that screen. And you could hear the voice of the sonographer saying, and here's the nose, and here's the mouth, and the baby's moving. And everybody was just in awe. And to me, it was like this holy hush just came over the crowd as we stood there and we watched God's most perfect creation, his child, on that huge screen. And then when we heard that heartbeat, and then everybody erupted into applause. I get chills right now just thinking about that, just remembering that. But it was such an encouragement to us to know that there are so many people who believe in the sanctity of human life, that were there, that showed up, that honored this beautiful display of God's creation. And so it was just absolutely beautiful. And what Focus on the Family and we are talking about is perhaps doing that again in the future. Focus on the Family, I just have to say, this is one organization that has really put their money where their mouth is in terms of supporting the pregnancy centers. And when I was talking with my contact there at Focus, she said, you know, we don't want to just come in and do this big splash and just, how wonderful Focus on the Family is. We really want to get behind the pregnancy centers in New York, and we want to do whatever it takes to help you. So they're trying, you know, they're working with us. They're giving us some money toward digital marketing. This has been a huge thing, and cycling back to SoundView for a moment, one of the greatest concerns that we have is that I believe that not enough women are finding us. We have this wonderful ministry, this wonderful service, but how are we reaching the women? And as we all know, women of today, and most of us, not just women, women, men, teens, adults, it doesn't matter how old, we are attached to our mobile device. And this is where, if there's a girl who has a crisis and she needs information, that's where she's going. She's going to search on the internet for what are the services that are available, and we need to be there. We need to be there. And so we're actually working with another company called Choose Life Marketing that is helping us. This is what they do. They specialize in this particular field of, you know, attracting this particular demographic, and it costs money. And so Focus on the Family is helping us with a grant for Google Ads. We have a center down in Virginia, not we, but there is a center down in Virginia that spends $100,000 a year on Google Ads, if you can even imagine. But that's the only way that they're reaching women. So we're partnering with Choose Life Marketing, we're partnering with Focus on the Family. And the next organization that I want to tell you about is an organization called Love Life. Has anybody heard of Love Life yet? Probably not. Okay. Love Life is an organization that began in North Carolina. It's a bunch of young Christian businessmen who really felt the call of God to develop a strategy to engage the churches on the issue of abortion so that women will stop going to the abortion clinics and come to their churches, which seems like a real big leap, right? When a girl is pregnant, rather than going to an abortion clinic, she's going to go to her church. But through prayer, they believe that this is possible, and the pregnancy centers are going to be involved in this as well. So we met with Love Life. They've come up. Here's why. Because of the RHA bill, they felt a burden to come to New York. So here's what they're doing in North Carolina. In three of the major cities of North Carolina, Charlotte being one of them, they've developed a strategy where a church can adopt a week, which means that you take the local, the nearest abortion clinic to your church, and you pray for the workers, for the women who go there, and for them to cease and desist doing abortions. And they have a prayer list that you can pray through. And so you would announce this on the Sunday of that week to your church congregation. On Wednesday, the church fasts and prays together. And then there's a prayer walk, which the church then goes out in front of the abortion clinic and just prays. Nobody says anything. You're not allowed to say anything. You just stand there and pray. And then there's a follow-up team. So there's four steps. The days that these gatherings are in front of the abortion clinics, they are claiming and they're citing that abortions were reduced by 70% on those days, which is incredible. Now, there are other organizations, 40 Days for Life as well, that are doing the same thing, but Love Life seems to have some momentum that is building. So when they heard about the RHA bill, they've decided to come up to New York, and they are going to the head of the beast. They are engaging churches in the local area around the flagship Planned Parenthood Center, which is the Margaret Sanger Center in Manhattan. They come up every month. They have now hired somebody for the New York area, and we're in conversation with them about when are they coming out to Long Island. So I just want you to know, and I asked the woman who is the area representative to join me here today so that she could introduce herself, but she had another church that she had to be at. But right now, I'd like to just show you a little glimpse into the Love Life organization, if you don't mind. That's the second and last video.
I wish that the good Christian people of my area would have come to that death camp to plead for our lives like you're doing here. If only a few had come, they would have been demonized and destroyed. But what if thousands had gathered? Do not be weary in doing good, for in due season we will reap the reward if we do not lose heart.
We unite today again, not just here in Charlotte, but in Greensboro and in Raleigh.
It is our opportunity today to love our neighbor enough to stand up and be counted. It's our opportunity today to love our neighbor enough to reach out in love and to say there is a better way.
We are a part of the greatest organism on the planet. We believe in your church. And we pray today that you will use us not to bring shame, not to bring condemnation, but to bring hope.
When the church comes together, people notice. When the church comes together, the enemy takes notice. And we're driving a stake in the ground today.
We're not here to put a dent in it. We're here to see it eliminated.
We are here today representing the body of Christ. It's not a Baptist thing. It's not a Methodist thing. It's not a Pentecostal thing. But it is a church thing.
We can no longer just sit in our churches and pray. We can no longer sit quietly and sit and do nothing. We've got to take a stand. And the moment we join together, they begin to fall. Somebody needs to join together with me and give God the biggest shout of praise. You give them all day today.
When I had my abortion, there was not one person on these sidewalks. But God heard the cries of his people, and today the church is here.
We decided to take a stand. It changed our entire church.
And listen, when the church shows up in big numbers, the numbers of abortions go down. When you come here, God shows up.
But if those women in there can hear me right now, you guys have a choice. The church is here to help you walk with that baby. We will help you.
Your prayers and your efforts were not in vain. God intervened. And because of you, and because God was working through you, she's here.
Well, the reason for this land, the reason for this celebration, the reason for that stake in the ground, is because we're about to see God do something supernatural. Latrobe is no longer going to be synonymous with death and abortion, but will be synonymous with life and adoption. God has called you to do something. He's called all of us to do something. What is your place on the wall?
We share the same heart to create a culture of life, and if there's one thing that is the core of my passion for this ministry and for this issue, is for this generation and the next generation, to build a culture of life for the next generation. And it may not look like it's going well, but the reason that I really wanted to come here today, and not just say I can't make it because it's my daughter's birthday, is that I want to encourage you that even in the light of what might be going on politically, the church is rising up. I really believe that there is a momentum in the pro-life movement, and it's going to happen when the churches connect with one another, connect with organizations. We connect with all kinds of organizations that are upholding the sanctity of life and moving forward. There is something that everyone can do to support the sanctity of life, whether it's financially, whether it's prayerfully, volunteering your time, donating, taking a baby bottle and throwing some change in it. Whatever it is, there is something that we can do, and I believe with all of my heart that God calls each of us to defend and preserve the most precious creation of his, which are his children. That is what I really believe that God had called me to, and I don't say that very lightly. People say, oh, I had a call from God, but this is literally what happened in my life. I don't know, not to go into too much of my personal story, but when I stepped into this role, I had just lost my husband, my first husband, to cancer weeks before. And I was in a position in life where I couldn't think straight. I was broken. I was humbled. I was confused. I was grieving. And here this opportunity is being laid in my lap, and I just kept saying, no, God, I just can't do this right now. And I always had a passion for this ministry for years and years. God had been preparing me for this. but I just didn't think it was the time. You know, sometimes don't we all know that God's timing and our timing don't always line up? I had interviewed for this position twice before over the years, and for God's purposes, it just never came to be. But he called me to now. And what I believed in my heart was he said to me, what else are you going to do with your life that's going to have more value to me than to preserve the life of my most precious creation, my children, to share the gospel with women, to advance my kingdom? What else is really more important? What else are you going to do? You know, at that point, my whole life was a blank. But I'm asking myself the same question now. What else has more value than life itself, than innocent life, than God's chosen children? And if there's any ministry, if there's any mission that I believe personally that has value, it's this. And I'm not saying it's because I'm a part of Soundview. Somebody after me is going to come someday and take over my job. But until then, this is what I've chosen to devote my life to, because I believe so deeply that if we don't step up as Christians, as the people of God, and preserve and defend the very lives that he's created, I think we're missing something, and I think we're missing out on a blessing. I really do. I believe that all ministries are so important. It takes hundreds and hundreds of ministries that minister to orphans, to widows, to hunger, you know, hungry children. All of them have tremendous value. But without those children coming, you know, taking their first breath, none of that really matters. And so I just want to encourage you and thank you, because this is a church that really stands behind your convictions. I know many of you. Pastor Doug, you're always so gracious, and you give me this time to come and speak and to present what's going on at Soundview. And the fact that you're all still sitting here listening to me is just such a blessing, because, you know, I know you have other things to do and you're going to get on with your day. But I'm just really grateful that you take the time to understand how this organization is engaging in this movement. We're going strong. We're hoping to open up more centers, God willing, in his timing, when the finances are in order. We will be able to do that. We have our eyes on Riverhead right now. We're hoping to get out there. We have our eyes on another place here in Nassau County. But nothing happens until the church gets involved and the money's raised for us to be able to do that. We have the model. We have the components of the ministry working well, and I believe that we can be even more successful with more centers and with more people and with more resources. And so as we gather together, I believe that God is going to really do a wonderful work here in the church, on Long Island, in New York, and I believe that we are going to make a difference, and the abortion rate is going to decrease. The more the church rises up and takes action, the abortion numbers are going to start going down. I believe that. Does anybody else believe that, that it's possible? Does anybody believe it's possible? Please say yes. We serve such a big God. This is not bigger than he is. He can do anything. I think he just wants us to do it together with him. He is calling us to be the church. Be the church. Not to be silent, but to speak up, to step out in faith, and to uphold the sanctity of life. He is life. He is love. And all we have to do is step in and work and engage with him in what he wants to accomplish here on this island, in New York, in this country. Amen? Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you so much for allowing me to come here today. Pastor Doug, he's on his way. Come on. I hear you.
And maybe ask Bob, would you stand and pray for Doreen? And
Thank you. She's
just been such a blessing. And one of the, I think, the greatest things is that, you know, she is encouraging the churches. And when I think that when you went to the churches and the pastors and everything, made a big difference. So
yes.
She's a big supporter
Amen.
Of the churches.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to hear what you are doing through not only Doreen and the Soundview, but throughout this country and all the organizations that love the Lord Jesus Christ, And we pray, Lord, we lift up the Lord Jesus Christ, that he would be glorified in this ministry. And we pray that you would continue to strengthen Doreen and the staff at Soundview, and continue to strengthen them both spiritually, Lord, especially being close to you, being confident, Lord God, in what you were doing in the life of this nation and this world. We pray, Lord, that you would provide the resources that only you can provide, Lord. We know that your arm is not too short or to save. So we thank you and we praise you and we ask your blessing upon this day as we continue to worship you and we continue to think about life that you have created, Lord, that you call special and you call very good. So we thank you, Lord, and we praise you and ask your blessing on all that we do and all that Doreen and the organization does and the future that you have in store. We pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thanks for sacrificing for us.
Oh, well, this wasn't too much of a sacrifice. Do you want me to go through just a quick overview on the bottle thing? Okay. So the way the baby bottle campaign works is, and I'm hoping that somebody is there to take note of, oh, you are. There you are. Hello. Okay, so what you'll do, and I think you've done this before, so some of you may be familiar with the process. You take a baby bottle or two, however many you would like. You take them home. You fill them up with change over the next 2 weeks, and then you bring the bottles back. And then we collect all of the bottles, and then some arrangement is made to get the bottles back to us. We take it to the bank. We cash it all in, and we'll let you know how much you raised. And all of that money goes directly to our client services. So it's just going right to the clients, okay? So you just need to know that you're just blessing someone. You may not know who it is, but that little thing could, when you all do it together, you'd be surprised. We are always surprised how much money really comes in on these very simple little baby bottles. So that's the whole process. If you have any questions, I'm sure Sarah will be able to answer those questions. She is our liaison, I believe. Sarah, yes. So it would be really a blessing to us. And, you know, children can do it too, which is fun. And it's a teachable moment. You can talk to them about why we're supporting moms and babies. And it's just, it just has a lot of value. So thank you again. I appreciate it. Thank you.
I want to give all that to your party and take home.
Okay, off to the birthday party. Okay,
thank
it's
you.
On. All right,
thanks so
thank
much.
You. Bless you, everybody. Thank you. Thank you.
Just take a few minutes, and then we'll start our afternoon service. And thank you, Doreen. Appreciate it. Dane? Oh. Hi. We're going to sing Happy Birthday to Rita. So if I know people are leaving, don't want to stay to hear the second service. But anybody else have a birthday that we'd be able to acknowledge? Who is this? Yeah, well, that's besides Mama Rita, yeah. Come on, you got to come up, Mama. For Mama Rita and whoever else has a birthday. Was it Kaylee? Where's Kaylee? Did we sing for Kaylee? Kaylee Grimaldi. Kaylee. Braylon too? Oh, she's just your support. Mama Rita? What? It's your birthday? Oh. Mama Rita, this way. The plan is that we were planning to have a second service. We could have the dessert afterwards. So if that's an incentive to stay, I don't know. But yeah, but we got to sing for Mama. We got a special cake. Okay. 87, Mama Rita.
Really? What day you born?
How old are you? 13 and 87.
What time?
October
what?
The 24th.
October 24th, okay. We'll take that. I'm ready.
All right. Well, we're going to pray for Mama and for Kaylee. And, well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and your goodness to us. We pray for your glory. We pray that you'd bless Rita and Kaylee and on their birthday. We pray that you'd continue to give strength day by day, especially to Mama Rita. And Father, we pray that as she would be soon going down to Florida, that you'd bless her there and bring her back to us safely, Father. We pray that you'd keep her and bless her and continue to use her, Father, in our lives. We just thank you for the blessing, and thank you for Kaylee and her desire to be baptized. And Father, we pray that you'd bless her young life and be glorified in that. We thank you and praise you and pray in Jesus' name. Yeah. Amen.
I'm 87 years old.
All right. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you.
And we're going to have a quick service and then dessert. And I'm doing the speaking, so you know it. You got a chance that way. I know everybody's got places to go, people to see. And don't leave without taking a baby bottle. We're going to start with the scripture call to worship from Psalm 89. Psalm 89, verses 1 through 3. 1 and 2, I'm sorry. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known your faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Your faithfulness you shall establish in the very heavens. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you that we can worship you at all times, and thank you that you've gathered us together on the Lord's Day, and we thank you for the blessing on Sunday school and the morning service, the Lord's Supper, and the presentation from Doreen. And now we pray that in this briefer time, Father, of worship, you would bless us. We pray that you'd bless your word especially, Father, and be glorified in what we do. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, everybody should have song sheets. The first one is I Will Sing of the Mercies. And then I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing, I will sing, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness. Thy faithfulness, with my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. Okay, turn your sheets over to number 7. Oh, magnify the Lord. This one's got the echo, so if we have enough people, we can echo. Right? Why not? Oh, magnify the Lord, for he is worthy to be praised. Oh, magnify the Lord, for he is worthy to be praised. Hosanna, blessed be the rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. Hosanna, blessed be the rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. One more time. Oh, magnify the Lord, for he is worthy to be praised. Oh, magnify the Lord, though he is worthy to be praised. Hosanna, blessed be the rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. Hosanna, blessed be the rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. And the last one is on the same side, number 12. You are my hiding place. You are my hiding place. You always fill my heart with songs
comes of deliverance. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. I will trust in you. Let the weak say, I am strong in the strength of the Lord. You are my hiding place. You always fill my heart with songs of deliverance. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. I will trust in you. Let the weak say, I am strong in the strength of the Lord. I will trust in you. Amen. Just had something prepared. Yeah. Briefly to look at the rationale behind speaking up for the unborn. There is a scriptural, very important scriptural reason why we do this, not just because we get excited and are encouraged to do so, but because we believe God's word. And we're believers, and we're Christians, and we want to obey God's word. It's a distinction we need to make, because the world isn't going to make it. There are many, many unbelievers that are against abortion, contribute money, and work, and get excited about saving lives, which is God's common grace. We as believers, as the church, need to have that much excitement, but do it for different reasons. Now, if you have a Bible, I'll ask you to turn to Psalm 139. It's one of the more famous psalms in the Bible, but it definitely speaks to a rationale or a reason why we believe what we believe, because the Bible says so, not because science says so, which is all, it's very important. The sonogram, all the scientific information that's coming about, all reinforces what we believe. The more that information comes out, the more clear it is from science, from technology, that this is the life, and the life begins at conception. And you can see on the 4D, and I'll probably have five, will they have 5D sonograms eventually, or whatever? They keep making more Ds, but they will. But what we believe is the Word of God, and we act based on the Word of God. Psalm 139, O Lord, you have searched me and know me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thoughts afar. You comprehend my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word of my tongue. But behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before, and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide me, but the night shines as the day, and the darkness and light are both alike to you. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they were all written, the days fashioned for me when as yet there were none of them. if I should count them, how precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, you bloodthirsty men, for they speak against you wickedly. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate them, O Lord, who hate you? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with a perfect hatred. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Well, we can see from that clearly, from verse, especially in the light of creation, us believing in creation, and we do believe that, right? Hope nobody would believe in evolution. We're Bible believers. We know that it was the Lord who gave us life. That's from his word. It says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them, and that speaks to other issues as well. But in Genesis, that's Genesis 1:27. In Genesis 9:6, we read, whosoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed. For in the image of God, he made man. So the reason why the baby at conception, this life at conception, has value is because it's God's creation. Not because it's cute or fully formed or has all its parts or even a beating heart at any point. It's a life that God has given. It's very clear from Scripture that God, even in the very first stages of life, he creates that life. You can biologically explain it, physiologically explain it, and dissect it and see it with science and with technology. But we can't see the moment that life begins, the actual second that it begins. And that's when there is conception, that's when there is life. So it is absolutely wrong from Scripture to end that life unjustly. God takes the life, that's his prerogative. But for us to do anything to hinder that life is wrong. It's committing an act of, in God's sight, murder, because we're ending a life that he created. Now, God's word says that, again, this life begins before we can even see it. He forms us and fashions us in the mother's womb, knits us together. In the book of Job, Job writes, and it's probably clearer in different translations, but the idea should be clear enough. He says, your hands made me, Job says, and fashioned me, an intricate unity, yet you would destroy me. He's complaining because he's under great stress and pain and suffering. Remember, I pray, that you have made me like clay. You will turn me into dust again? Did you not pour me out like milk and curdle me like cheese, clothe me with skin and flesh and knit me together with bones and sinew? You have granted my life in favor, and your care has preserved my spirit. So the instant that life begins, when God gives the spirit and he fashions it, he pours it out, he says, like milk and curdled cheese. There's great explanations for that actual language, and it's very specific that God uses. I don't have the technical information or all that represents, but it represents exactly how God forms life in the womb. Job knew it. We should know it. And we should know that the wrongness of taking any life. Now, we also realize, of course, that God has commandments that we're to obey. God's word says in Romans 13:8, owe no man anything except to love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandment, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, all summed up in this saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is a fulfillment of the law. It's the second table of the law that deals with us on a horizontal. It also deals with us vertically, because we have the desire, now that we're saved, to obey God's law. In Romans 7, Paul writes, "For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man." Unsaved people have no desire, no ability, and no desire to keep the law of God, but we should. And the law is one of the best studies you can do on the Ten Commandments is to look at the Ten Commandments. Thomas Watson has a great work on Ten Commandments, and some other people as well. But they look at the positive and the negative portions. I think one of the catechisms also does that. It's not only not taking life unlawfully, but it's doing all we can to preserve life. Every commandment has a negative and positive. Don't steal, but rather work with your hand at that which is good so that you have something to give. Don't lie, but tell the truth. Every commandment has a negative and a positive. And so that the commandment against murder, you shall not commit murder, also commands that we need to do everything we can to preserve the life, our own life, and the life of others. And so that includes not only in the womb, but also at the end of life. Because the same people that are wanting to take life in the womb also want to take it at the end of life, in the nursing home, in the hospital, and they're hot on that. They have whole departments and hospitals and nursing homes to do that. And we want to be careful that we do all we can to preserve life and encourage the value of life. Why? Because the scripture tells us that every life has value. And it could because we were created in the image of God. Now again, that has to be our rationale. Not because of what seems common sense, right? It would seem common sense that you want to preserve life. But it has to be based on what God's word says, right? The carnal mind is enmity against God. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind, in other words, the person, how we come from nature, we're born in sin with a natural mind, that mind, it says, is enmity against God, in rebellion against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. Even well-meaning religious people and people who just have come to the conviction about abortion, they're not doing it to obey God's law. It says the carnal mind rebels against God, but it does not obey, it cannot obey God's law. We are different. We have God's law now written on our hearts, they in their conscience, that's why they feel guilty, and there's some sense of moral outrage at murder and at things like that. But we have the law of God, which says do not murder, which means do everything you can to preserve life, written on our hearts. So our motivation is not only that life begins at conception, that life is precious because we're created in the image of God, but God's law motivates us. We desire to keep it because we know that's righteousness. That's truth. That's the right thing because we love God. We love his word. We love his law. And so our motivation is to do all we can to preserve life. So what can we do? Any suggestions other than what we've seen today, the baby bottles, the support, this Love Life ministry, maybe as a church? What's something else we can do? Practical. Michael. Okay, that certainly probably goes along with what we saw today, and people have done that already. Anything else? Pray. Absolutely. Probably the most important thing we can do. But again, we have to take practical steps. If it's all in theory and all in, it's not going to, we have to take practical steps. Based on the truth of God's word and our responsibility to open our mouth and speak for those who cannot defend ourselves. I didn't read the pertinent verse for that in Proverbs 31. It says, "Open your mouth for the speechless in the cause of all who are appointed to die." Babies have appointments to die. And he says, open your mouth. Open your mouth, judge righteously, plead the cause of the poor and needy. There's no one more needy and poor than a baby in the womb. So that's the emphasis. But we can pray. Certainly, probably one of the most important things, and I was encouraged to hear that People are not just going to walk by the clinic and stand there silently, but they're going to be praying. And the whole program, the fast on a Wednesday to pray, and I mean, it's just sounds, but what else can we do?
Vote.
Oh, man, after my own heart here. Two men. Vote. And you'll say, I don't vote. These guys are all bums. They're all crooked. They're all the same, but Republican and Democrat. What difference does it make? Well, we have a responsibility as citizens and as Christians to vote. We really do. It's our privilege. It's our freedom. We get to vote. Countries like China and North Korea don't get to vote. They do. They are commanded to do. They kill the babies and all this horror. We can vote. And you say, well, neither one is good. They're both corrupt. They're both. Don't vote for the person. And if you can't vote for the person and have full conviction, vote for what their party stands for or what their voting record. There is a way to find out what the voting records. They used to have right to life candidates, and it made it easy because they would grade the votes. And so you have two guys. Neither one of them are good, right? Well, one guy has a voting record in Congress where he's 99% voting for life. You vote for him. Same thing in the presidential election. Regardless of personality, you have to vote. We should have a responsibility as Christians to vote for the person and the platform that promotes life. I didn't mention anybody's name, but you know that there are two parties, and one party has a platform that promotes death. And specifically, and you know, see what's done in New York State with Governor Cuomo, and you may say, well, that person that supports life, they don't have a chance. Well, you vote anyway for them. And that enough people vote that way and vote in conviction and vote according to policies. There's other important policies too for Christians. Support of marriage and all that. You vote for the policies. You vote for the voting record. You vote for the party platform. But you don't vote for people who are supporting murder. And that's what it is. And that's the conviction that I have, and I know that many of you do as well. So it's a very practical thing to vote and to pray and to sacrifice time, money, and energy in doing what we can. We're all busy. We all have limited time. And our primary goal, of course, is the gospel. It's a beautiful thing when we can do both, promote the gospel and promote life. And that's like organizations like Soundview. So there's ways as a church we can participate. Our main goal is to glorify God, to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ, to promote the gospel within and without the church. But we also have responsibilities as citizens and as Christians to do all these things. So I hope that encourages you. Again, our convictions need to be based on the Word of God. That's really what's going to cause us to do what we should do. If it's just, you know, common sense, if it's just what our opinion is, we're not going to get off and do anything. So we need to be convicted by the Holy Spirit through the Word of God that this is important, that this is life and death, and God exalts life. God is the life giver. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Word, and we thank you we're not left in the dark. We thank you that your Word is a light to our path and a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. We thank you that we can know good and evil. How shall a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your Word. So your Word is truth. Your Word is perfect. And your Word converts the soul. Help us to follow you, to follow our Savior's Word, the Lord Jesus Christ's Word, and the perfect law of God. We thank you for your goodness and for blessing us as a church and blessing us in this day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we're running out of time with one more hymn from a song from Same Side We Were On, Change My Heart, O God. It's number 2. Somebody making fun of me over there. Hmm? Change my heart, O God, make it ever true. Change my heart, O God, may I be like you. You are the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me, this is what I pray. Change my heart, O God, make it ever true. Change my heart, O God, may I be like you. Amen. We'll close in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this time, and we pray that you bless our time of fellowship continues with the dessert and the rest of our day. Father, please bless and help. We pray for your glory, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.